Welcome. I'm very pleased to bring back Colleen O'Donnell for talk today on the importance of memory to living with low vision. Promises to be full of valuable information that we can begin applying in a practical way to our everyday lives. Colleen is an occupational therapist and a certified low vision therapist who is an important part of the Henry Ford Health System Visual Rehabilitation and Research Center in Detroit, Michigan. As an occupational therapist for 31 years, Colleen had worked with older adults in the home, community, mental health, and long-term care settings prior to specializing in visual rehabilitation 11 years ago. Colleen, we look forward to your presentation today.
I'm very happy to be here today. I think this subject is very exciting, and I hope everyone gets something out of it that you can use in your everyday life. What we're going to talk about today is the aging brain and how you can use your memory not only as a substitute for vision, but to enhance the vision that you have and to keep your brain healthy. We're going to talk a little bit about what is memory, what you can do to enhance your overall brain function, what you can do to enhance your memory, and how you can use your memory to compensate for your vision loss. Dr. Finch, who's an expert in neurobiology of aging, states that if you don't have a specific disease that causes loss of nerve cells, then most, if not all, of the neurons remain healthy until you die. Therefore, because they believe that the brain is plastic and can grow new connections and make new connections, problems they feel arise when these synapses or these connector cells lie dormant. Therefore, the less you use certain connections, the more likely disrepair or degeneration will occur. The third aspect about changes in the aging brain is called HERALD. And HERALD stands for Hemispheric Asymmetry Reduction in Older Adults. As we're younger, earlier in life, we tend to use one hemisphere at a time. So if we're working on a task that has to do with math and real concrete information, say putting together, say, a wooden toy, then you're using the left side of your brain. The right side of the brain has to do with symbols. So if you're writing poetry, if you're listening to a fairy tale, that's the right side of the brain. What happens now, they believe in the aging brain, is that we tend to use both hemispheres. So we work both sides of the brain to get together and make connections. What is memory? 20 years ago, we interpreted memory as a computer with the filing system. So information would come in, be placed in storage, and then pulled out when we needed it. However, now they're finding that memory is not so much fact-based, is not just a fact-based record of reality. It is the result of coding of different experiences by a network of multiple brain structures. And some of the research is showing us that memories are not literal recordings of reality because, first of all, family members recall specific events that, you know, all members of the family participated in. Each member will recall them differently, and some may forget, you know, that particular instance totally. People rarely remember details accurately, and people sometimes recall events that make a general sense or fit their expectations of what should have occurred. So memory is a process. Three steps. First of all, we learn the information. The information comes in through our senses. Secondly, we're going to store that information, code it, and that process is called encoding. The third step of memory is the ability to recall it when you need it. There are two types of memory, primary or short-term memory or working memory. This is very brief. It's when that sensory information comes in. The second type of aspect of memory is secondary memory. This is long-term or storage of information. Primary memory, short-term or working memory, is initial registration of sensory information. It's a moment-to-moment awareness. Some experts believe that the input, about 40% of it is visual. Others I've heard up to 90%. There's little difference in short-term memory between young and old adults. In general, we remember 7 items for 30 seconds, and that's about the span of a telephone number. Short-term memory also plays a role in searching and looking up archived information or information that is stored in long-term memory. Encoding is that second step of memory, and this is where the brain takes the information and puts it in a format so it can be put into long-term or stored memory. Short-term memory only lasts for seconds unless it is encoded and then stored. We can better encode information by associating it with previous knowledge that already exists in memory storage. And the human memory system is built so that individuals are more likely to remember what is important to them. Some of the problems that we see in terms of memory starts at about age 50. And here we start seeing where we do have some problems with retrieval of information from your long-term memory. And this is because recall, or your ability to pull out information without cues, becomes a little more difficult. And where you may see this is that, you know, you come into a room and you think, well, why did I come into this room? And you have to stop and give yourself some cues, maybe retrace your steps before you can pull out that information that you had a couple of minutes ago. Sometimes this process of difficulty with recall is called old-timers recall. And some of the things that you may have experienced, I know I have, are forgetting newly learned facts, forgetting the names of new acquaintances, misplacing objects, forgetting a telephone number, or forgetting what you intended to do minutes after deciding. Signs of difficulty with recall, or the ability to retrieve information without cues, is nothing to worry about, okay? It may also be a sign of distraction, feeling restless, or maybe being anxious in a social situation. You can use some of the tips we're going to discuss today to help you improve your attention to incoming information, or provide yourself with cues to pull information out of this long-term secondary memory storage. Where people start to have problems, and therefore warning signs of dementia or a more serious memory deficit, would be, for example, forgetting routine things constantly, trouble learning new things, forgetting how to do things you've done 1,000 times, having a hard time keeping track of the events of the days, especially significant things that have happened during that day, using the same phrases or repeating stories over and over in conversation, and having difficulty with more complex cognitive tasks, such as managing your finances or making important decisions. Human memory is built that individuals remember what is most important to them. Staying Sharp is a program that AARP has developed along with the Dana Alliance for Brain Research. And it is, they're looking at ways to promote cognitive fitness, especially in later years. And some of the ideas that they're promoting is education about brain health, the fact that you need to challenge your brain. You need to stay engaged in your environment and with other people. You need to continue to learn new things. And and you need to expand your horizons or the types of experiences that you have. General tips for a healthy brain, and this information I've accumulated from a number of resources. First of all, you want to increase the learning you have during life. You want to be a lifelong learner. These kind of tips will decrease the risk of you developing memory-related problems as you get older. All right, you also want to stop once in a while and think about thinking. All right, be aware of how you think. Concentrate on the details of what you're doing. Live in the moment. Stop and smell the flowers. Slow yourself down a little bit and be more aware of your surroundings. The other aspect is that they do suggest, many of the experts, that you get tested for Alzheimer's if it is in your family, because there are a number of medications that can help slow the progression, as well as complementary medicine, such as herbal remedies that they're thinking now has an impact on delaying the progression. Mentoring, you're more likely to retain information if you have to explain it to someone else. So, share that wisdom that you have developed over the years and get involved in volunteer activities, reminiscing, writing your memories down. I had a client who she was having memory problems in addition to her vision loss, and she wanted to start recording her favorite family recipes. So that's something we worked on. Some other tips for a healthy brain have to do with the mind-body connection. And these are some suggestions by Dr. Michael Warrison and Dr. Mehmet Oz. Anything that you do that is healthy for your body, for example, reducing your blood pressure and cholesterol, will also help your mind, your brain stay healthy. Intense body and mind exercises, so activities that involve some thinking while you're moving, self-defense classes, learning new dance routines, tennis, those kind of things. You want to look at detoxing your system. There's a lot of information now coming out on additives and pollutants that may directly affect your brain as well as your body. Humor, telling a joke, that can make a significant difference. And map your mind. Visualize in your head. Draw a map of what you're going to do. This is especially helpful if you have vision loss and are not sure about the accuracy of the visual information that's coming in. Use the visual pictures that are already in your head. Anything that you do that is heart healthy will also be brain healthy. So the American Heart Association, ABC, avoid tobacco, be more active, and choose good nutrition will also help your brain. Okay, lifestyle changes that you can do now, regardless of your age, that will help prevent memory loss is looking at mental activity, challenge your thinking, challenge your brain, looking at physical conditioning, whatever level of physical activity you're at, try to up it, discuss it with your doctor, of course. Reduce the stress. That's probably the single most unidentifiable part of this that will affect your brain and how you develop your memory. Find where the connection is with stress. What happens to you when stress does affect you? Do you become short of breath? Does your stomach become upset? Take a deep breath and then move on. There's also some information about a healthy brain diet and antioxidants, that kind of nutrition, they believe now may also help your brain. Dr. Gene Cohen has got a couple of books out, The Creative Mind and The Aging Mind, and he's done a lot of work on being creative, how that is very important as we get older. He also agrees that exercising mentally and physically, getting involved in challenging leisure activities, and establishing strong social networks will help you keep your brain fit. The benefits of physical exercise are numerous. Benefits of physical exercise, and I think the most important thing here is, again, that connection. You know, anything that gives you more oxygen to your body and helps blood flow in the body will therefore bring oxygen to your brain and help keep your brain healthy. Keep in mind that exercise does not just mean, you know, getting on the treadmill. There's a number of activities that involve moderate physical intensity that is recommended as well. And things such as gardening, raking leaves, preparing meals, golf, all of these things can also give you that same benefits. Recommendations about physical exercise or activity, try to build up to 30 minutes a day. Moderate intensity, you want that heart pumping. You want to make it something that's enjoyable that you want to come to. And use a variety. It's very common in later life. It's our ability to express ourselves. We want to take risks. We want to leave a legacy. It's a very powerful inner resource that can help you through a lot of periods of loss and stress. What is mental or cognitive exercise? Anything that's novel and complex involves a cognitive workout. And some examples can be gardening, knitting. Knitting is one of the best ones. Journaling, dancing. There's a, you know, whole variety of activities that can be brain healthy. As you're working, you want to keep a track of endurance. You want to look at visual endurance and signs of problems with that. Maybe tearing, eye fatigue, eye soreness, blurriness. That's telling you that it's time to stop and take a little break. Signs of cognitive fatigue can be frustration, starting to make mistakes, a slower response. Physical fatigue can be, you know, a sore back from sitting too long, your hands being sore. So keep in mind that these will affect your memory and your ability to process information. Okay, as we said briefly, stress is very potent but often ignored contributor to memory loss, and there is a ton of information out there on stress. I think the most important thing is be aware of how stress affects your body and what your body and or mind is telling you when you become stressed. Chronic conditions that may also impact learning are pain, endurance, sleep deprivation. This processing or encoding that occurs happens mostly during sleep time. Oxygen deprivation, those of you that have pulmonary conditions, you know, make sure you're getting enough oxygen but not too much, because that will also slow you cognitively. Look at the medications you have and their side effects. Make sure that you're drinking enough water and that you're eating right. And watch out for substance abuse. Some of the strategies that you can do personally for yourself to help you learn better, especially when there's, you know, some very important information. You want to give yourself time. You want to make sure you do a meaningful analysis. You know, you're thinking about your thinking. You're living in the moment as you're trying to learn this new dance step. You want to make sure you've compensated for other problems. You want to give your information, your new information, in small units. You want to space these units. You know, give yourself some cognitive rest time. You want to organize it, and you want to pace yourself. Some other strategies involve making sure that you relax, that you're focusing, that maybe you write it down, you repeat it to yourself out loud, because then you're using your auditory input as well. And you time the information. You know, if you're a morning person, that's the time that you want to learn. Specific memory strategies to retrieve information, some of these things that you can use to cue yourself and pull information out of long-term memory, notes, lists, calendar, cue yourself, oral and written, you know, again, talk to yourself, write it down, organize it, keep things in the same place all the time, put that activity into your daily routine. Right? When you have vision loss, make notes large enough so that you can read it back to yourself. And if you can make it large enough not to use a magnifier, that That's one less step that you have to worry about. Things like body memories, you know, how do you ride a bike, skill memories like knitting, those stay with you. So these kind of memories can help reinforce or enhance your vision as well, your vision loss. Memory enhancers, keeping a personal calendar, use a computer. There's a lot of email alerts now that'll remind you of upcoming events. Keep important items like your house keys in the same places. You can use voice memos. There's a lot of different equipment out there that has reminders for you, alarms to remember when to use your medication, watches. Mnemonic devices are those devices that do help enhance memory. When you meet someone new, repeat that person's name back to him after you've been introduced. So, example, Tom, nice to meet you, Tom. And that repetition will help put it in storage for you. You want to use your other senses. Multiple senses involve multiple areas of the brain and build connections. And don't forget, you want to enhance your vision. Make sure you're using your vision as best as you can. So get involved in vision rehab. Use different kinds of equipment that's been advised. Use your environment. Make it more visible. And use large print cues. Make sure that your environment is well lit. Lighting is your friend. An example of large print cues, large print calendar, a big button phone, you know, a high contrast clock, and those little eraser boards, you know, that just remind you of things that, you know, you're going to be doing that day. Organizational strategies, you know, keep all the materials that you're going to use for a specific task in one area. Examples of medication organizers. So see what size print you need so that you can readily even identify a single letter can be helpful. Examples of challenging activities, novel and complex, knitting, you know, grandma always knitted and now we're finding out why she did. There's a number of leisure activities that are done in large print, cards, crossword puzzles, that kind of thing. Then in summary, looking at memory and vision loss and how those two can help each other out and help you continue to do activities. First of all, keep your brain sharp, keep your memory sharp, use whatever cues you need. Meet the challenge of vision loss. You know, do what you can with the vision you have and use your other sensory systems as well. Stay active and mentally fit despite the vision loss. Find a way to do something. Don't just continue to give up activities. And keep in mind that vision loss can be a gift if you meet the challenge.
All right. Thank you very much, Colleen O'Donnell, for your outstanding presentation. We look forward to seeing you all again. And until then, let's all remember Colleen's advice and take good care of the brains that we've been blessed with.